A fundamental objective of the NDIS, the National Disability Insurance Scheme, is to give those living with a disability and their carers choice and control over their daily lives. Despite this, many carers find the scheme does not enable them to find paid employment. Myra Hamilton is a senior research fellow at the University of New South Wales and has looked at the issue and joins us on the line. Good morning, Myra.
Good morning.
Now, the NDIS is designed to create independence and increase quality of life for those living with a disability. What are the statistics and the experience when it comes to enabling carers to find paid employment?
Yeah, look, as the NDIS has been rolled out, some policymakers and commentators have claimed that providing better services for the people with disabilities will free up their family carers to participate more in paid work, as you said. But in reality, the evidence so far suggests that it really doesn't work like that. So far, all the evidence suggests that for most carers of a person with an NDIS package, the NDIS has actually had no impact on their capacity to work. And in fact, this is not that surprising, because when you look at the way the NDIS is designed, it's in fact not designed to replace the care provided by family carers. It's designed to strengthen and build the capacity of families and carers to continue providing care for their family member.
Myra, why is it important that carers are able to find paid employment if they want to?
Well, the research suggests that most carers want to work for a range of reasons. It contributes to their financial security. It contributes to their health and well-being. It helps them to continue in their caring role because it gives them a break from caring, which actually contributes in a positive way to the sustainability of their capacity to care for their family member. So there are all sorts of reasons why it's very important for carers and for their families to support them to have opportunities to participate in paid work if that's what they want.
Now, Myra, you mentioned there that, you know, it's good for the carer and good for the person they're caring for. And obviously, you know, in terms of socialisation, the fact that people get to interact with broader society can only be a good thing. You mentioned that the scheme itself isn't actually designed to enable this. Is that a fault of the scheme or short-sightedness in how it was actually designed?
Yeah, look, it's very complex. I mean, the scheme was designed first and foremost to provide support to the person with disability. And to some extent, the carer's needs are taken into consideration, but only insofar as the scheme supports carers to keep providing care. There's no scope for the scheme to actually provide carers with any kind of support to meet their own personal needs independently of the care relationship. When you look at the scheme's design principles, before anything can be funded through the NDIS, the NDIS planners who help people to put together a plan of what kind of supports can be funded and not, have to first take into consideration whether or not that support can reasonably be provided by family members. So kind of at the fundamental core of the NDIS is this presumption that we first need to see, look, can families do this? And if so, perhaps we won't fund support for this to be provided by formal services. And so in a way, it's a part of the NDIS that could do with further consideration so that carers' needs can also be taken into account here.
It's not a very easy thing, actually. We have spoken to people on breakfast before who've participated in the NDIS. It's not an easy thing to actually get into the program and go through all the steps that you need to. It almost seems like a complete lack of recognition for the carer when you say that if the support can be provided within the family, then there's a lack of support services that are then provided to them.
That's right. I mean, the NDIS has been very beneficial to some people with disabilities and also to some family carers who say that because their family member with a disability has been receiving better support services, it's contributed in a positive way to their own well-being, because obviously they want their family member to be, you know, providing to be receiving the best possible support. But there's also a very, you know, very important lack of consideration of carers' needs within the NDIS, and so far there's been nothing that's kind of supported carers alongside the NDIS in their own right. So the government's currently developing a suite of services for carers that are designed to provide for carers independently of the person with disability. But this is lagging well behind the NDIS. I mean, they'll be rolling out some carer counselling services soon, which will be terrific. But the kind of more extensive services and any kind of services that are likely to kind of more directly support carers to participate in work are unlikely to be rolled out until the end of next year, and it's still very unclear exactly what that will look like.
So how does the lack of opportunity for these carers impact the families they're actually caring for?
Well, in a range of ways. I mean, financial security is a big one. Many carers talk about the challenges they face because of a lack of financial security. They're unable to work, so carers are much more likely to be living in low-income families. The lack of opportunities to participate in paid work for carers can have detrimental effects on the carer's own health and well-being, which then has a knock-on effect to the health and well-being of their families. So for a range of reasons, providing opportunities for carers to participate in paid work is not only beneficial for the carers, it's going to be beneficial for their families as well.
We're speaking with Myra Hamilton about the NDIS enabling carers to undertake paid employment. Myra, despite what views people may have, the designers of the scheme, the previous Labor government, said that it was fully funded. When the Conservatives got into power, they said it wasn't. And that changes had to be made to how the NDIS would actually work. Do you find any truth in that, or is it just that people are actually playing politics with what is actually a huge policy change in Australia?
I think the NDIS was a huge social policy reform. It was always a starting point that was going to need a lot of work to improve it as we started to understand how it was operating, how it was working for families, how the pricing system was structured and whether or not it was effective. I mean, there's a system in the NDIS that's been set up to be able to fund particular kinds of services. But as it happens, the way that the system was priced, the way that certain services have been priced, are relatively low, and so there's been a lot of work, important work, trying to figure out, well, how can we better account for the true cost of the services that are being provided under the NDIS, and what's that going to mean for the overall cost of the scheme? So I think there are some very important and very real questions about how much the scheme is costing and why it's likely to cost more than it was originally anticipated. But I also think that naturally, we should be engaging in this discussion about how we can improve such a big social policy reform as we start to see the benefits and the challenges of it as it's rolled out around Australia.
Yeah, for such an important social policy, it seems that we often have more time to debate tax changes than something like the NDIS. Do you think that the government, you mentioned that there are changes, but they're taking time, is slowly responding to the demand for people in the system for change?
Yes, I do, yes. I mean, there have already been a number of changes to the NDIS, tweaks and more significant changes to better design the scheme so that it's easier for families to access, it's easier for families to navigate, so that the funding is more adequate to be able to cover the services that are provided. There are still all sorts of problems with the scheme and lots of challenges that families are facing in accessing the supports they need. And there are also a lot of challenges faced by families who have disabilities in the family but who don't have access to an NDIS package because their disabilities are not considered to be permanent and significant. But as far as the development of the scheme is going, I think that there are positive changes happening.
And Myra, governments often, respond to pressure electorally. Do you think that the broader community supports the NDIS and wants it to live up to the expectations for those who do live with a disability, and that informs how governments act?
I think there's widespread support for the NDIS in the Australian community, and we've seen that since the proposal for a national disability insurance scheme 7 years ago. So I think that there hasn't been any change. I think there continues to be very strong support for the scheme, and hopefully that continues into the future.
Well, thanks so much for joining us this morning, Maura.
Pleasure.
You've been listening to Maura Hamilton, and she's a Senior Research Fellow of Social Policy at the University of New South Wales, talking there about the NDIS and the ability of carers to find paid employment.